right. So the title of today's message is Trusting God Through the Journey. But who loves a good war film? Like, my thing is a good war movie. I love a good war movie. I was in the military. I got to serve in the military about 10 years. And, man, I just love a man. My thing about a war movie is this. I did the training. I understood what it is. I was like, they did that wrong. I start critiquing it. They did that wrong. They did that wrong. You know, that's my thing. So I'm going to tell you of a story that really touched my heart. Who here has been able to see the film Hacksaw Ridge? Oh, man. What a movie, right? What a movie. A movie about faith. A man who stood on his faith. He was drafted into the military. Desmond Doss. PFC Desmond Doss. He was ridiculed by all of his peers. He was put down. They were trying to get him to quit, trying to get him to wash out, trying to get him just to not be there because he became a lot. They felt like he would be more of a liability than he would be an asset to the military. You know, he had that. He didn't choose this journey. He was drafted in. He always believed he could serve his country, but he was actually drafted into the military. So for him to stand on his faith, get ridiculed, and be able to save 75 of his fellow soldiers without firing a single shot of his weapon. Not even hold a weapon. Right? See, a conscientious objector is that thing that you will not hold or fire a weapon at all while in the service. There's not very many of those in the military today. And you know, this is a true story based off of it was the Battle of Okinawa during World War II. So you could imagine. We all know about what happened on D-Day. So you could just imagine what was going on. So they had to go up this ridge, and they already had, the enemy was already beat down on that ridge. The minute someone's head popped up over there, they were already taking fire. So you can imagine the fear with that this guy had, the faith he had to put in Jesus, the journey that it wasn't, so he didn't choose himself, but he was drafted into, and he fought to stay in to, because he had faith in Jesus that he belonged there and he had a purpose, right? So that story right there reminds me of another person in the Bible that actually didn't choose his journey, right? But he did have to go through. And through this journey, he had to trust it. So if you look at your handout, you see a bunch of scripture in Genesis. If I go through that scripture, we'll be here all day. And I know you guys want to go to your barbecue, go to the get on to your next thing. So we're going to go ahead, and I'm just going to paraphrase all those. The story of Joseph. Who here knows the story of Joseph? Right? In Genesis 37, 3 through 11, the story of Joseph is this. He was given a gift by God. And who knows what the gift was? What could he do? Right? Huh? Right? He could translate dreams, right? He was a dreamer. He could translate dreams. And one day, what happened in the first part of that? He told his brothers one thing, right, of his dream. Let's actually turn there real quick. I'm going to read really quick what that was. Genesis 3, 37, 3 through 11. So he was able to decipher this dream, but he said, now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, right? Because he had been born with him in his old age, and he made an ornate robe for him when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than them. They hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. His brother said to him, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? And hated him more because of his dream he had. All right, who here has a younger sibling? All right. Someone's like this. right? If you don't have a younger sibling, you are the younger sibling, right? Let's just go right there. Now, can you imagine your younger sibling coming into the room and say, hey, you know what? One of these days, you're going to bow down to me, and I'm going to rule over you. Man, you're going to punch him and say, get out of my room, right? Right? That's exactly what's going to happen. So they hated him for it. So our journey is going to start with this. Right? Your first fill in the blank is this. God has given us all gifts and abilities to build the kingdom of heaven. Right? God has given us all gifts and abilities to build the kingdom of heaven. We have been chosen by God. Right? We have been chosen by God to do his purpose and his will for this world, to build his kingdom. And whatever that purpose is, whatever that gift is, we need to be careful on who we share that with, right? He says, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. And that's in Jeremiah 1:5. See, God chose each of us to build his kingdom. God doesn't call the qualified. So you may be sitting here, what is my gift? Man, I cannot preach a word. I cannot sing a lyric. I am not a teacher. I could barely make it up and go to church on time or at all. What is Brother Stephen saying that God has chosen me? What makes me so special? See, God knew you before you were even born. He had an idea for you. Your journey didn't start the day you were born. Your journey started the day that God, a long, long time ago. God had a plan, a timing, and a place, and a purpose for you. And it's not what the journey looks like that matters. It's not the beautifulness of it. It's not the fact that, you know what, you got a precious haircut or you have hair, right? It's not that. It's not always going to look good what your journey is about. I can tell you in my brief life, I'm already almost 40, sorry, that I could honestly say that my journey didn't look beautiful. It didn't look too perfect. I didn't grow up with lots of money. I didn't have this big old house. As a matter of fact, I didn't even make the right choices growing up. Right? But God had a plan and a purpose. And going back to Genesis 37, 12 through 36. This is messed up. And I know some of you guys are going to laugh at this. Because you wish you could have did this the day your parents brought your younger brother or sister home. Right? This tells of the story where the brothers sell Joseph into slavery. Now, who wishes they could just sell their brother and sister, let alone just give them away? Right? You would ask them to pay. You would pay them to take it. Right? You know, in 37:12, see, they took Joseph away from his father, led him away in Genesis chapter 37:12-36, expecting to kill him. But instead, they said this. Now his brothers had gone to graze their father's flocks near Shechem and Israel, and said to Joseph, "As you know, your brothers are grazing the flocks near Shechem, come, I am going to send you to them." "Very well," he replied. So he said to them, "Go and see if all is well with your brothers and with the flocks, and bring word back to me." Then he sent him off from the valley of Hebron. When Joseph arrived at Shechem, a man found him wandering around in the fields and asked him, "What are you looking for?" He replied, "I'm looking for my brothers. Can you tell me where they are?" They have moved on from here," the man answered. "I heard them say, 'Let's go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them near Dothan, but they saw him in the distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. "Here comes that dreamer," they said to each other. "Come, now let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him, then we'll see what comes of his dreams. Right? So, not only were they envious of their brother, not only were they jealous of their brother, not only were they upset at their brother, why? Because of a dream that he told, a purpose that God had given him, a purpose that God has given to all of us. Leads me to this next point. We need to watch out. Beware of your surroundings and the wolf of sheep's clothing. That's your fill in the blank number two. Beware of your surroundings and the wolf in sheep's clothing. It says, there will always, this is my thing, there will always be haters, right? There's going to be someone that's always going to try to tear you down. There's always going to be someone that is going to not agree with what gift God has given you, what ability you have. Who here is a pretty good athlete? Or used to be. An ex-athlete who was pretty good. We'll just say that. My daughter Jenny, she laughs at me because, you know, we went on a sprint and almost died trying to race her. And I did not make it. Let's just be real. She's fast. But I don't hate her for it. I applaud her for it. It says, not everyone has your best interest at heart, including family. Okay? Our trusting God in these journeys is making sure that we trust him with the right people that come into our lives. The people closest to us could be our biggest enemies. Right? We hear that rule of thumb, keep your friends close, keep your enemies closer. So trusting God in our journey is about seeking godly advice instead of worldly advice. Who here has been, you know, you get in that issue in your relationship and all of a sudden your friends say, leave him, he ain't worth it. Or, man, you should just go punch that person in the face. He ain't worth your time. Right? That you get all this bad, this world is full of bad advice, bad personas, bad decisions that people make just to get a like nowadays. There's this thing that's on the internet called Fail Army. And it's just people making fun of people getting hurt. Trust me, I've watched it. I've laughed at it. But then I'm like, man, I shouldn't be watching this. Right? Let's just be real. Matthew 7:15 says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ferocious wolves. Meaning they are trying to tear you down, tear you away from God's path. I was telling my wife that last night I got a call from an old friend, an old acquaintance. And man, he praised the desmadre, the mess that we were in. We were always causing chaos. And when I started to tell him beauty of where God has led me now, I'm separated from that, he started to weep. Yes, he was a little intoxicated. You know, he had that, you know, I was probably his drunk dial. But at the same time, I felt compassion, and I felt a call from God that I just can't wait till Pastor Michael comes back from this trip because I got to talk to him. Because he let me know that a good friend of ours passed away because he decided to continue on with the mess. He said he decided to take some things that were not good for his life, so his journey ended early, not because God had called him to that, but because of his own choices. So I will tell you this, our journey, we need to be aware of the people that are out for our best interest, our godly advice. You see, Joseph was sold into slavery where he ended up in Egypt. And in Egypt, he made it pretty good, right? He was part of, you know, Pharaoh's in the house and working in his, you know, as one of his servants with Pharaoh. But then there was somebody who was fond of Joseph, right? And this is where his, you know, it's not so bad. Yeah, Joseph already endured, right? Getting sold to slavery by his brothers, he endured, right? Being a slave in Egypt, And now we got someone else. So in Genesis 39:1-23, we learn about a person's wife named Potiphar. Potiphar's wife. Right? And I'm going to paraphrase these scriptures, and I encourage you to read them after today's sermon. Is Potiphar was fondling him, David. He was trying to get David to what? To do what? To go to bed with her, right? And she, and do all this craziness with that. But David stayed true to his Lord. He said, "This isn't right. I'm going to stay faithful." But then what did Potiphar's wife do? He ran to Potiphar and said, "Hey, David made a pass at me and kept his cloak and said, see, I have his cloak. I was in the bed. He tried to, right, seduce me." Which landed Joseph where? In prison. All right? Landed Joseph in prison. So see, it goes back to my next point. My last point. It's not about the aesthetics, right? God is going to continue to guide you through. You got to trust God. It's not going to always be kosher. It's not always going to be, right, smooth sailing. God is going to, your journey is going to go, but you got to continue to trust God. It says, allow faith in God to be louder. Allow your faith in God to be louder than our circumstance, so that we can continue to push forward in obedience. That's fill in the blank number 3. Galatians 3:11 says, clearly no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith. See, God is in control. See, we may not understand why we have to go through the things we have to go through to get to where we are now. And you're saying, man, I'm still in this circumstance. I'm still going through the struggle. I'm still having obstacle after obstacle. The minute I try to pick myself up on this journey of life, I'm still getting kicked back down. We got to keep trusting God. We got to keep our eyes on the Father. Meaning our faith in God needs to be louder. We know God's promises. We know that God is not going to lead us nor forsake us. We know that God is there with us. We know that God is, and we've heard it. But sometimes our perspective and our focus is solely on our circumstance. On our addictions. On our hurts. On our failures. On our finances. Our focus is on that one family member we've been praying on and praying for, and that they're just not getting it. And you just wish and you're praying for breakthrough. So our faith needs to be louder. We need to say God is in control. It's okay on this journey to be not okay. Who here goes around and putting on that front saying, hey, you know what? I'm okay on Sunday, but Monday through Saturday, I am hurting. I'm in turmoil. I don't know where the next meal is going to come from. I don't know how much more I can deal with my brother in turmoil, and I don't know how to help him. On this journey, we're going to have those struggles. It's where we put our focus. Remember, God, and I've already said it, we got to remember God's promises. Now, Joseph, while he was in prison, he did just that. He remembered the gift that God had given him. He remembered that thing, right? And there was two men that came into his life. In Genesis 41-23, it tells of the cupbearer and the baker. And they both had a dream, and he remembered that gift that he had that had been given. And he let them know. So tell me the dream. Right? And in that dream, he said what? The the two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them into custody in the house of the captain of where guard. And in the same prison where Joseph was confined, the captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph. And he attended them. After they had been in custody for some time, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were being held in prison, had a dream the same night. And each dream had a meaning of its own. When Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials who were in custody with them in the master's house, "Why do you look so sad today?" "We both had dreams," they answered, "but there is no one to interpret them." Then Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams." So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dreams and said to him, "In my dream I saw a vine, and in front of me and on the vine were three branches. As soon as it budded, it blossomed, and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and put the cup in his hands." Joseph said, "This is what it means." Joseph said to them, "The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position. And you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, and just as you used to do when you were his cupbearer. But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. I will forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon." When the chief baker saw that Joseph had given favorable interpretation, he said to Joseph, "I too had a dream. On my head were three baskets of bread. In the top basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head." "This is what it means," Joseph said. "Three baskets also are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and impale your body on the pole, and three birds will eat away your flesh." Now on the third day, Pharaoh's birthday, he gave the feast, and we all know what happens next, right? So Joseph's gift was his avenue to start his freedom. Because the cupbearer ended up, right, it says in our scripture that cupbearer ended up going back into the Pharaoh's good graces. The Pharaoh ended up doing the same, right? His interpretations were on point. You see, God's going to put people in your life. And in those people, they're going to be in there for a season, and they're going to help you grow. And some of them are going to help you try to keep you down. And in this journey, we got to hold on to the one that's going to help us grow. See, God has placed so many people in my life that have helped me get to this point where I am today. To be able to free me from the turmoil I was in once in to where I am now. And believe it or not, 1, 2, 3 of them are in this room. Michael's another one. He's in New York. Right? And in that, I had to hold on to it. Those were the start to come to me. So God's timing is perfect. We may need to endure a season of waiting, but we need to stay ready. See, after the cupbearer was restored to his position, he had forgotten all about Joseph. For 2 years, he forgot about Joseph. So Joseph had to endure that season of waiting. We might be in a moment where we've been waiting for a check to come in. We've been waiting for a prayer to be answered. We've prayed to God and prayed to God, and we continue to pray to God, and it's just taking, it seems like God is taking forever. Right? But in this time, we need to stay on faith. We need our circumstance to be louder, our faith to be louder than our circumstance. This is where God needs our prayer life, our study life, our faith amongst fellowship, our faith in, enough to be in fellowship. Our attendance at church needs to be stronger. Our belief that God is going to break through, right? Eventually. It's coming. We got to stay the course. Our journey should not be focused on the obstacle that's in front of us. Our journey needs to be on the next step. And being prepared and ready. Staying ready at all times. Because guess what? What happens when you try to rush God? You usually fail. Or you either fall deeper into your circumstance. You know, the way you see, what I got to see this morning was a blessing. I got to see Giselle and her practice with the youth this morning. And we saw JD get a little frustrated. And he was like, ah, right? And I heard these words. This is why we practice. This is why we practice. We practice so that when it comes time, when the game is on the line, guess what? We're ready. When the challenges hit our face, when the obstacles are in the midst, we're ready. When God calls, we're ready. We also got to trust that God knows our desires. He knows our hearts. He knows that we want to be out of this current situation. He knows we want to be in the abundant life. He knows that we want to be financially stable. He knows we want to be in our own home. He knows that we want our brother to succeed. He knows that we want our children to be followers of Christ as well and be walking that better path. He knows. But we cannot say, God, you need to do this now, because God's going to say, bro, I created you, bro. What do you mean? So what's that famous saying, bruh? We'll get a straight bruh from Lord right there. I remember when I hold that moment, because I used to work at Lee Service where my brother works, and I used to tell him all the time, you know, I want to be making more money. I need to be making more money. And I remember Henry used to tell me, he's like, bro, I don't even make that kind of money. he would calm me down. But, you know, he was like, in time it'll come. In time it'll come, but our human natures, we want it now, we want it to hurry up. It's like praying for patience and getting mad because God's taking too long. You know what I'm saying? You're like, don't pray for patience if you're not willing to wait for it. You know what I mean? So on this journey, we just have to trust that God has our best interests at heart. See, trusting God through this journey, it may not, right? It may not look good. We can thank God for our abilities. God, I have this ability. I want to use it. I want to use it. I want to use it. God's saying, wait, hold on. You get those people in your life that do more harm than good in your life, so you got to beware of the ones that are guiding you. We got to let our faith in God be louder than our circumstance by saying, God, I'm going to praise you even when it doesn't feel good. I'm going to praise you even when all I have is 50% of my life. See, on this journey, as long as we're trusting in God and we're doing those things, God's going to hear you. And as long as you're practicing your prayer life and you're reading your Bible and you're holding on to his promises and he just letting them know, hey, God, I'm still here. He's not going to forsake you. He's not going to let you down. Thank you, Brother Jesse. But here's the good part. Ready? God will guide us through the obstacles. The fifth fill in the blank. God will guide us through the obstacles and trials and prune those things hindering our growth into his purpose for our life. I mean, God is already doing it. God is already moving. And if you trust that God is moving, then you need to just continue to keep going. See, do not focus on the mission. Focus on the goal. See, the goal here right now should not be anything of this world. Our goal is to be building our treasures in heaven. See, Jeremiah 29:11 says this, "For I know the plans for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, but plans to give you hope and a future." See this, God has already planned your path. We just got to let him. We just got to let God be God and us take a back seat. See, the minute we try to continue to force our will instead of God's will, we end up in situations like prison. We end up in situations with addictions. We end up with such things called idols. When we try to do things our own way, we end up doing more harm than good for our lives. Now, I'm not saying we all have those obscene circumstances of addiction. Some of us have lived well, prosperous lives. But we also feel like we're missing something. Or we're also chasing something that may not ever be enough. You see, what happened 2 years after is Pharaoh had a dream as well. And that dream that he had, Joseph, the cupbearer, said, "Hey, I remember this guy when I was in prison 2 years ago." And he was able to foretell this dream. So Pharaoh called and summoned Joseph. Joseph came and told him the dream. He projected that, that the great famine was coming. And at that moment, Joseph was freed. Freed of his bondage. He was put back onto Pharaoh's right hand. You see, if Joseph would have given up in prison, he would have never seen the blessing. He never would have seen God's plan for his life. If he would have given up way back when his brother sold him into slavery, he would never reach the end game for his journey. He would have given up. He would have done. It would have been a done deal. But he held on to God's promises. He knew God had a plan and a purpose. He stayed in obedience and did what he had to do. And if you read the story all the way through, Joseph really didn't have it that bad when he was in prison. He was kind of in charge of a lot of the prisoners. But he trusted God. God showed him favor even in his worst circumstance. You see, Desmond Doss, went back time and time again to save each one of his 75 fellow soldiers. It was by his faith in God that allowed him to finish his race. It wasn't pretty. Despite the suffering of multiple wounds himself, he kept pushing forward. Right? He kept pushing forward. My favorite scene of that movie was when they end up carrying him out and lowering him down that ridge. And at the bottom, he had earned the respect of each and every one of his fellow soldiers and his commander. Joseph didn't understand why he had to be sold into slavery. He didn't understand why he had to be imprisoned. He didn't understand. There's things that we're going to go through in this earth, on our walk with Jesus, in our Christian faith, that we're not going to understand why we have to. My wife here could attest that each and every time there's a circumstance, I've asked that question, why are we having to go through this? We show up on Sunday. We do our due diligence. We praise the Lord. We pray. We read our word. We do this, we do that. But you know what? Sometimes the devil tries to interfere. The devil's trying to interfere because guess what? He knows if we continue to go and live this life for Jesus and live our life serving this heavenly Father, that he loses. See, the devil isn't in the game to let us finish our journey and end up in heaven. He wants to try to get in the way. He wants to keep us away from God, as far away from God as possible. So you may have came here today saying, hey, you know what? I'm moving with momentum, and I just want to say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. We're moving with momentum. I'm good. Others are in a season of waiting and needing direction. We're needing to say, God, what's next? Where would you like me to go? I think, God, I want to go here, but where do you want me to go, God? Should be the next, that question. Right now we might be in a moment where we have made some wrong choices, wrong decisions, done some things. And we need to repent and recommit to our walk and get back in the game, get back in the fight. And some of us that are going to hear this message are sick and tired of being sick and tired, and they just need a breakthrough. They need a way. They need some type of just a win. And the only win we have is Jesus Christ. And we gotta try they're gonna come to you, or they're gonna be here and say, hey, I need to raise my hand and give my life over to Christ for the first time. See, there's nothing that we can do in life besides declare that God doesn't exist that'll keep us away from God's love. It is God's love that's going to guide us through everything on this world. In this world, it is God's love and grace and mercy and guidance that is going to allow us to reach our end goal, which is our life in heaven. My favorite part of the journey that lives in Christ is this. That I may have to live. I may have to have gone through it. But my testimony that I get to give each and every time someone asks why I serve the Lord and continue to do it is for the brother or sister that's seeking. That is seeking that sense of hope. You may have to live it, but guess what? It's not for you. The journey of God is not always meant for you. The journey of God is meant for that brother that needs hope, that sister that's going through that same thing, that needs to know that someone else made it through. I trusted God, and I continue to trust God on this journey through this time as Pastor Michael is trying to build each and every one of us up so that we can be the best we can be for God's kingdom. And I'm going to tell you something. It's hard. There's times where I just don't want to do it. But I do it anyway. I know that if God done it once, he'll do it again. I know if God has saved me from myself once, he's going to save me from myself again. I know for a fact that if God has got me out of financial struggle once, he's going to do it again. My focus should not be on the mission. It should be on the goal. And the goal is heaven. But how do we get there? How do we get there if we keep getting in our own way? How do we get there if we quit when it gets hard? Right? We got to have faith. We got to trust that God is going to be in control in every minute, every moment, every second. Please stand. You see, we had a small crowd today. That's fine. It's been a busy week for a lot of people. And it's going to only be, it's only going to get either worse or better. But at the same time, this journey never ends without God winning. This journey will not end without you guys having an invite to be part of God's kingdom. This journey will never end as long as God is in your heart. And I'm going to tell you something that's good, because God is omnipresent and God is never ending. So guess what? The journey will not end if you choose to keep pushing forward and focusing your and putting all your focus on God. Trusting God through the journey does not mean you won't have struggle. Trusting God through the journey doesn't mean that there's never going to be a red light or a detour. Trusting God through the journey means this: your effort will be perfect. Your effort, even if it's 50% of all your energy, is given to the Lord. See, God doesn't command us to be perfect. God commands perfect effort. Meaning, keep trying, keep striving, keep doing your best you can. Because at the end of the day, as long as you're following Him, your effort will exceed. It's where you choose to put that effort that matters. Father God, I just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for the many journeys that you have in this room. You've called each and every one of us to that. God, thank you for speaking through Joseph, Heavenly Father God, in his life and everything that he had to endure, Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father God, for just choosing each and every one of us to be alive today. Thank you for choosing each and every one of us to be in your kingdom today. Thank you for choosing me. God, thank you for choosing me. It didn't always look good, Heavenly Father God. It hasn't always been good. And there's going to be more obstacles to come. But God, thank you for choosing me to be on this journey. Thank you for choosing each and every one of these people here today, Heavenly Father God, to be on this journey. God, I pray for each and every one of us that God, that we will just focus on you and your purpose. Focus on your kingdom, Heavenly Father God. Focus on being with you in heaven, Heavenly Father, in the sense that we're going to do the best we can each and every day, even if it hurts, even if it isn't pretty, even if we don't have the energy, even if we are ill. God, thank you for the people you've put not only in my life, but you're going to put in people in these people's path, Heavenly Father God, that A, are going to need a prayer, or B, that are going to pray for them. Thank you, God, for allowing church to get started. Because God, we know that your kingdom isn't in these four walls. Your kingdom is outside. Your kingdom is not just built on Sundays, Heavenly Father God. It's built Monday through Saturday as well. Your kingdom will have, when we try to build your kingdom, we will have obstacles, but you have overcome each and every one of them already. So God, thank you for salvation, Heavenly Father. God, thank you for choosing us, Lord. Lord, at this time, I do not want to end this prayer without giving the invitation. If you have not received God, Jesus as your Lord and Savior, follow me in this prayer. Dear Jesus, I come before you as a sinner. I come before you hurt and broken. Jesus, I know you went to the cross to die for those sins and those hurts, and rose 3 days later so that I can have eternal life. And from this day forward, I promise to serve you and accept you as my Lord and Savior. I know it won't be perfect, but I trust you to guide me through from this moment forward. If you prayed that prayer, I ask that you raise your hand. Praise God. Anyone else? Amen. Father God, for the rest of us, I pray that you forgive us, Heavenly Father God, for the times that we choose our circumstance over you, that we allow our circumstance to limit what you have already done and what you can do. I ask for a special forgiveness, Heavenly Father God. And I come back to you, Heavenly Father God, because I know that this journey doesn't end right here, that it's going to keep going because you have more for my life. I pray, Heavenly Father God, that you have more for each and every person here. That it doesn't end here, it doesn't end today. It'll end when you want it to end, but it'll be in heaven. God, give us each the strength, Heavenly Father God, to persevere through any obstacle. That God, and if we are here to praise you for not being in a storm, we're here to say, hey, you know what, we just want to say thank you, God, and praise you for what we're doing, Heavenly Father. I pray that you hear that prayer, because without you, it would not happen. Without you, we have no victory. God, I pray, Heavenly Father God, as we get ready for to end Sunday service, Heavenly Father God, that we just remember that the journey doesn't stop on Sunday. We continue daily. Each day, you say in your word, do not worry about tomorrow or do not worry about the past, because you've overcome both. We got to focus day by day. God, I pray that today as we get ready to go home and enjoy our festivities or our rest, that we can continue to trust that you have our best interest at heart. And that we could share that your glory lives on forever, that we can let our light shine, as it says in Matthew, so that others may see your glory. God, be with our afternoon. Thank you again for the youth for stepping up today in this worship, Lord. And God, thank you. A special prayer to Michael and Stephanie as they are traveling in New York, and as Michael has work conferences to go through, Heavenly Father, God, that you just protect them. And God, that you just let them have some time of church and service with you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for today. In Jesus' name I say, amen.